Welcome to our Bible study, Hebrews chapter 9. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service on a worldly or earthly sanctuary. And then he describes the earthly sanctuary called the tabernacle. For there was a tabernacle made, the first room, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein is the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded on the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubim of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, that would be on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Now, if you've been following these studies, you will remember that we've been talking about the Lord Jesus as a superior high priest, with superior sacrifices
and a superior covenant.
The theme of the book of Hebrews is
better things.
It was written to Hebrews who were familiar with the Old Testament Jewish ritual, but it was written for us as well so that we can learn how much better the new covenant is and how much better the work of Christ is, how much better salvation is offered now than under the old covenant, the old ways under the law. Now you can't read through the ninth chapter of Hebrews without noticing the word blood. If you mark your Bible, you might want to mark all of the occurrences of this word in the ninth chapter. The Old Testament priest never drew near to God without blood. Aaron, great as he was, could never enter into the presence of God unless he had blood. He had to offer it for himself and for the errors of the people. And this chapter tells us that almost all things were, by the law, purged with blood, and without shedding of blood, there's no remission. Am I talking to somebody who doesn't believe in this kind of thing? Maybe you've heard someone call the fundamental teaching about the precious blood of Christ a religion of the shambles, or maybe it's your church that has taken all mention of the blood out of the hymn book for the young people. Well, let me warn you that if you do not have a blood sacrifice, you can never draw near to God. Cain made that mistake way back in the first pages of your Bible. And he was rejected, and he's lost today because he refused to bring a lamb. All through the Old Testament, rivers of blood flowed from the Jewish altars. And all of these are said to be types of the coming of the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. And he does it by the shedding of his own precious blood. Now, why is this necessary? Well, we're told plainly in the Scriptures that the soul that sinneth shall surely die. Death is the penalty for sin. Not just for some sin, not just for murder, any sin. The sin of a proud look, the sin of an evil thought. Any sin merits death under the law. And I've sinned and you've sinned. We've done it many, many times. Now, what are we going to do? Well, you say we just have to do the best we can. Yes, but the Bible says God requires that which is past. What are you going to do about the sins which you have committed? Well, perhaps you're thinking that your baptism washes them away. But we're told plainly in the first chapter of John, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sins. The old hymn says, crimson do my sins seem to me, water cannot wash them away. And that's perfectly true. What are we going to do about our sins? Some people think if we just ignore them, maybe they'll go away. Some people think that if you just pretend that you haven't sinned, that you can settle a thing that way. But God knows that we have sinned, and He has it on the record, and He says that He requires that which is past. How wonderful that the Lord Jesus came, and this is the subject of Hebrews 9. The Lord Jesus came that He might put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself, that He might suffer in our place. Now, this chapter develops the Old Testament sacrifices of blood, the blood of goats and of calves, the blood of bulls, the blood of animals that were dying in the place of the people, and yet they never put any sins away. They only covered the sins over from year to year until the Lord Jesus could come. And so we're told in verse 24, for Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, that is, not into some earthly temple or tabernacle, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself, often as the high priest enters into the holy place every year with blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, or the end of the age, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Notice that little phrase, to put away sin. Let me ask you, if your sins are put away, are you sure? Well, Acts 13:38 says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. I think there were something like 17 sins for which there was no provision under the law of Moses. And yet we're told the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You have three appearings here in the last part of Hebrews 9. The Lord Jesus has once appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And then we're told that he is now appearing, in verse 24, he has gone into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. He's there to answer for us. He's there to hold up before the Father the memorials of a completed sacrifice. He's there to pray for those who have trusted him as their Savior. But now there's another appearing in this chapter, verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The Lord Jesus is going to appear again. When he comes back, those of us who are looking for him are going to be most happy to see him, because he's not going to come this time to put sin away. That's been done once and for all. But he's coming to take us away. He's coming to take us home to be with himself. So the Lord Jesus did appear to put away sin. He is appearing to intercede for us, and he will appear to take us home to be with himself. This, by the way, is the last of seven wonderful references to the work of the high priest in the book of Hebrews. It began in chapter 2, where he was pointed out as the reconciler, making reconciliation, or literally propitiation, for the sins of the people. And seven different things he does as a high priest. The last of these is that he's coming back. Now, in the Old Testament, when Aaron went into the presence of God on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, to offer the sacrifice for the people, the people all waited outside, and they waited there breathlessly for Aaron to reappear, because only when Aaron reappeared could they be sure that they were accepted, and only then could they hear God's blessing pronounced on them. And so we who have trusted the Lord Jesus, although we know that our sins are put away, we know that our Savior is accepted, we wait too for the return of the high priest, because he's going to return to bless us. Do you remember that when he ascended, he lifted up his hands and blessed the people, and it says, as he blessed them, he was parted from them and received up into heaven. And then the angel said, this same Jesus shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Now, how did he go into heaven? He went into heaven in the act of blessing his people. In the attitude of blessing, how's he going to reappear? Same way. When we first see the Lord Jesus, I'm sure we'll see him with his hands uplifted in pronouncing blessing upon us. And we'll see the mark of the nails in the palms of those wonderful hands, and we'll know that he's ours. We'll know that he's our high priest who appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now, I just want to make this personal. I want to ask you, what are you depending upon? What are you trusting in for the putting away of your sins? Don't tell me that you belong to church. Don't tell me that you've been baptized. Don't tell me that you're trying to do what's right. Tell me that you're depending upon the precious blood of Christ. Tell me that you're resting in what the Lord Jesus did for you on the cross. The Old Testament sacrifices of animal blood could never put away sin. But the Lord Jesus has entered in by his own blood. We're told in verse 12 of our chapter, by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Do you know this eternal redemption? Will you trust him now if you haven't before? Our Father, we pray for thy blessing on thy word. We thank thee that our Savior obtained eternal redemption for us. We thank thee for his precious blood. We thank thee that he lives now to bless those who will trust him. And we commend them to thee for thy blessing in his name. Amen.